Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo here and I have with me Dawn.
Hello.
And it's a pleasure to have with us today Adam Knott and Karina Lang.
Hello.
Hi guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so you're here today to talk about sport, aren't you? And the classification of sport in the VI community as such. So, Adam, do you want to start? Do you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, what we've been emailing each other about back and to lately?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Corinne and myself are both involved in a sport called Goalball, sport for the blind and visually impaired. And myself, I've been involved in Goalball for now 10 years. And Corinne, how long have you been?
We both
really enjoy Goalball, and I've been playing for a lot of years between us. And we both have a condition, what we call oculocutaneous albinism, which, Karina, you might be able to explain better than me because you're on the board of the Albinism Fellowship.
Yep. So basically, it's a genetic condition that means that we're lacking melanin in our skin, which is also needed to form our eyesight. So we both have really poor eyesight. On an eye chart, I can see the top two letters at a push, and Adam, I think you're about the same.
Yep.
So we both visually impaired. So we play Goalball because it's sport specifically designed for people with a visual impairment. And we're kind of all right there, aren't we, Adam?
I've been playing Goalball now, as I said, 10 years. I played for the Great Britain squad for 8 years. Paralympics, European Games, Youth World Championships, etc. And what's happened recently is in sport you have to go through a classification in any Paralympic or disability sport. And I'll please ask any questions as I'm just going to keep rambling otherwise. So in blind sports in particular, you have three types of classification. So you have B1, which is completely blind. Or some general light perception. And these are like simplified, just to make it easier to understand. You've got B2, which is very, very low levels of vision. I think of it as tunnel vision or very little angle of vision or very low acuity. And then B3, which is again a little bit more vision. It goes up to 660 in your usual Snellen chart, which is about the top letter. So they're the three levels of classification that you can have in international blind sport. And both Karina and I have recently been classified as what we call B4. So B4 is a classification recognised by the British Blind Sport Association. And they are B4 categories around the world, but they slightly vary. So what we're talking about is specifically to the British Association. Or British blind sport. And B4 is where you have that little bit more vision again, but not enough really to take part in usual sighted sport, etc. And B4 goes from in the UK, it goes from 660 vision up into 624. And basically what Karina and I have been doing is because at B4 you're not actually classified as able to play international blind sports, we're saying, well, that's not fair, really. Especially I've been playing for 8 years and then suddenly slight change in vision and classified out of it. Karina, you can say a little bit more about your classification.
So I played Goalball for about 2 years and then I started to get noticed by the women's GB Goalball team. So I was on the track to go play international Goalball Paralympics, European, kind of a similar route to the one that Adam did. But they sent me for classification because they thought I might be borderline, so B3, B4. And I went and did the classification and they said that I was just B4. And that if I came back in 2 years' time and reclassified, there was a chance I could be B3. And that kind of situation kind of broke me slightly because you spend your entire life trying to find a sport or a community that you can fit in with and you can play on a level playing field with other people, and I found that and then turned around and said, no, you you can't play it internationally because you're ever so slightly on this particular day under these conditions slightly too well sighted enough to play a sport that is also blindfolded anyway when you play on the court. So we're trying to get that change to allow people to play in a sport which is specifically designed for people who are visually impaired like myself, because currently there is nothing. So my eyesight is too poor to play any kind of mainstream sport competitively at any kind of international level. And yet I, like Adam, have just been pushed out and left with nothing to do in visually impaired sports, and we think that's not right.
Why the classification should make a difference, particularly in goalball. I understand with other sports, but if you're all blindfolded, then surely it doesn't make any difference.
Well, absolutely. I think we have the Paralympics for a reason, and that's to be as inclusive as possible, and to get people that cannot play mainstream sport into playing sport, because sport is so important for health, well-being, mental well-being, etc. And I think we understand that there needs to be a cut-off. And of course, in goalball, you do have your blindfold on. So actually, during the game, yes, there's no difference. I think you also have to look at the wider picture and think, okay, yes, during the game, there's no difference, but actually, what else is there? There's the training side to it, and how easily people with visual impairments can train. There's the transport side. How easily can people with visual impairments get to where they need to be for the training, for the tournaments, etc. So I guess, yes, in the actual gameplay, anyone could play because you are blindfolded. But I think it's a Paralympic sport because it's everything that comes with that as well. Mm-hmm. So for us, we're not specifically just fighting for goalball either. We're thinking about lots of different sports and blind sports, because obviously we're very interested in goalball, but there are lots of other people that are interested in other blind and Paralympic sports. And we're saying, well, actually, as a B4, and we're not telling anyone where they should put the cutoff. We just think it should be raised. And because in the UK, we recognise B4 as a classification, that's what we've gone in with. But we're saying actually for any blind sport, anyone in that middle ground between actually you've just got a little bit too much sight to be a B3, but you still don't have the vision to play it sports competitively in sighted sports, to get to the training on your own in using transport is not easy. Doing training by yourself is not easy. You are such in that middle ground that they're basically saying, as Karina said, actually you're not blind enough for blind sports, but you're not sighted enough to participate in sighted sports. So we're saying, well, how's that fair? There's this middle ground where you're saying that no one with our level of vision is able to ever have that dream of competing internationally.
Seems very unfair, doesn't it? And there must be an awful lot of people in the same situation as yourselves, like you say, not just with goalball, but with many other sports as well. Have you guys actually managed to make contact with anyone else in the same situation as yet? Or are you kind of at the beginning of sort of this trying to raise awareness of this?
So we started a petition because we want to obviously raise this situation to other people. And we had an amazing response. I think we've had over 4,000 people sign that petition. And so many people have commented saying, this has happened to my son, this has happened to my cousin, this has happened to my aunt. And it's across the board in different sports as well. So it's not just specific in goalball. So yeah, reading the comments and that, you realise that it's not just us. This has happened to quite a few people.
What backing have you had from British Blind Sports? Have they been much involved, or?
So in terms of British Blind Sport, of course we sent it to them. So what we've done is we've written a letter, an open letter that we're going to be sending very shortly to the International Paralympic Committee, and also IBSA, so the International Blind Sports Association. So we're going to send that to them. But prior to that, we wanted to get lots of organisations' signatures, basically saying we support. We have had some, not as many as we'd like. We will be honest with that. We wanted many more, but I guess we have to get the ball rolling somehow. Mm-hmm. In terms of British Blind Sport, of course, they're looking out for the whole blind community in Britain. And very fairly, their argument was actually, we totally understand in what you're doing. However, we're also concerned that players, it might disadvantage, by adding a higher threshold, it might disadvantage players with less sight, because you're bringing more people into the sport. There's more competition. actually blind spots are there developed for the people with the lesser sight? Absolutely, we totally agree. And does it disadvantage them? So they haven't been willing to sign the petition, and we're not forcing people to. So we absolutely understand why they don't want to do that. But I think our argument is still there. Although we totally understand that, we're also saying at the moment there is this group of people who cannot do international sport at all. We're not going to IBSA or the IPC saying this is how we want you to do it. We're going to them saying we'd like you to look at it. We don't want it to disadvantage anyone, but we'd like you to look at it and say, actually, we have this cutoff at the moment. Can it be changed so that it's fair still for everyone? And yeah, we're not telling them how to do it, but we'd like it to be looked into and changed.
The classification system hasn't been considered and adapted and adjusted for many, 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 many years. And yeah, it needs to be updated to reflect different methods of testing. But again, we're not saying how they do it, but it's just we want this issue to be raised and addressed, really.
Yeah.
And of course, we don't want anyone to be disadvantaged from it.
In terms
of sport, I think the more competition, the better. The bigger the blind sports can get, the better. The more publicity, the bigger it gets in the sporting world. But we don't want people to be disadvantaged from it. So it's getting that fine balance. But we firmly believe and feel at the moment, actually, there is this group of people that have no ability or no opportunity to play international blind sports.
And that's so frustrating, isn't it? And especially when you've been, like when you say you've been playing at international level and then all of a sudden you're told, actually, you can't do that anymore. That must be devastating, really.
Yeah, I mean, for myself, obviously, both Karina and I have got very different circumstances that we've kind of reached this point with. I'd been playing for 7 years, internationally 8 years, and my level of vision, I was always on the boundary. And I think people with the condition that Karina and I have, there'll be a lot of people that are on that boundary between B3 and B4. Mm. But I'd gone from the top of maybe a B3 and comfortably a B3. I've been a B3 for however long I've been playing and classified many, many times, and it had never been questioned. You're always a B3, no problem. I did have a slight increase in my sight. Just they think that by working, the brain getting used to the vision, there was a slight increase. But in terms of percentages, and I know it's not accurate, but it's from around 10 to 15%. I know percentages are such a big thing to work with. You think, well, what is 10 or 15%? But the Snellen chart, you're looking at definitely you can see the top letter to starting to see some of the second row. So it's minimal changes and not enough changes to daily life. I still can't drive. Still lots of things. I say you can't do, but I disagree. I think there's lots of things, even though it may be harder to do them, it's still possible to do. I'm a firm believer you just give everything a go. But driving, of course, isn't one. I won't be giving driving a go.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, I think everyone else is probably too. But I think that actually such a minimal increase that doesn't change the life at all, but has taken a huge thing out of mine and Karina's life and many, many others, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Not only physical sport-wise, but also emotionally as well, probably. But it's something that you've aimed for, it's something that you've worked hard for and trained for, and suddenly you're saying, no, you can't do it.
Yeah.
That must be so demoralising and so mental health-wise, you know.
And there's nothing we can do about it, you know, it's... Our eyesight is what it is, and for them to turn around and go, there is nothing we could have done to get ourselves there to play. So,
yeah.
And I think, as Karina highlighted with her story, it's, oh, come back in 2 years and it might be different. Well, actually, that means there's something wrong in itself, because it means it's such a fine boundary and such a fine line, and things are so changeable. The classification system at the minute looks into acuity and the field of vision. But there are so many other things that can be at play, and we just want it to be looked at, because you can't say come back in 2 years, it might be a less sunny day, or you might have had more sleep the night before, or less sleep, you might be more tired, and that's going to change it for you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it can change on a daily basis for some people with certain eye conditions, can't it? You know, practically you could go one day and it would be what you might be a B3, and then the next day your eyes could be, you could be tired, you know, like you say, lack of sleep, and you could be a B4, because you're just, you know, your eyes could be strained. It's really tough. That is so tough for you guys.
And I think we're we're still saying there needs to be a cutoff, because you have Paralympics for a reason. It's to be inclusive. There needs to be a cutoff somewhere. We're not saying that, because we've had people say, well, they could let it into sighted people. It's like, no, we're not saying that. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a cutoff somewhere to make it a disability sport. So it is there for people with sight loss. But at the minute, it's still missing a group of people.
Yeah. And I'm guessing you're both registered as sight impaired. Are you all severely sight impaired?
Yep, sight impaired, disability living allowance or paperwork nowadays. And by the government, by society standards, by my standards, by anybody's standards, apart from the Paralympic world, we are visually impaired and disabled.
So what do you want? Is there anything that you want from people listening to this? Is there anything they can get involved with? Do you want them to get in touch with you? Is your petition still live, or is that closed? What do you want from the listeners?
So there's a few things, really. We have an email address, which is b4insport@outlook.com, and it's the number 4.
We also have a website that's got a copy of the open letter on it. So if you wanted to read the open letter that we are planning on sending, you can go to that, which is www.b4insport.com. And from there, you can also find a link to our petition. So if you as an individual agree that, this isn't right and you think it needs to change, please do go to that website and follow the link to the petition. And likewise, if you're from an organisation who would like to support this letter, please do send us an email and we can add your name onto the supporting organisation's letter on the bottom.
Okay, fabulous.
Absolutely. So we're hoping
to send a link in the support page as well, can't we, Jo?
Yeah, definitely.
And we had thank you for that. And we also had an article in The Guardian, which will, again, there's a link on the petition to The Guardian article. There's articles to website on Inside the Games, which is where it's been just getting it out there. And I think we just wanted, before we sent the letter to the IPC and IMSA, we wanted to create a bit of a fuss and create a bit of a storm and get people talking about it before this letter appeared in their email inbox. And they were like, okay, there's a lot of people talking about this and a lot of people that feel very strongly about this. So anything that anyone can do, we'd be really appreciative.
Yeah, definitely. Brilliant. Okay, fabulous. Thank you both and good luck.
Absolutely. Wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Lovely to speak to you both.